HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing the conversation with D.C.'s Attorney General Carl Racine. We're talking about law and order issues as well as some consumer issues that definitely can impact you. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I talk about the human trafficking issue, I did want to ask you about obviously something that has not only impacted this region, but also, nationwide. That is, of course, the issue of deadly police violence against black men. We've seen a lot of activism with Black Lives Matter around the Terrence Sterling issue. What are your thoughts about the climate that this has created, not just in the district, but nationwide?
Well, I think it's the climate that the shootings of unarmed African-American men has created is predictable. We should be outraged at what we're seeing on television. And that's not to prejudge a certain set of facts, but the sheer number of shootings and the sheer number of deaths over the years have added up. And the fact that we're dealing with video now puts it into a different light. I know just growing up in the District of Columbia, what my parents taught me and how I was to, really put on my best church face and my best church voice and be as polite as possible when interacting with police officers, because I was always at risk. I think that now's the time for leadership in government, law enforcement, and the community, including Black Lives Matter, to really get together and be constructive and talk about ways in which we might alter the way in which, number one, police are hired, number two, police are trained, number three, the transparency with which misconduct is dealt with, and really take us to a new day, frankly, of policing.
As you know, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the Crutcher case, the officer involved was charged quickly compared to other cases. Should there be more expedience when dealing with this thing, in this kind of thing, in your opinion, or do you believe that there should be this waiting period while police officers are on administrative leave and the like?
Well, I think every case deserves, close focus on the facts of that case. And so it's not easy to say that all cases should be, determined and adjudged in terms of charging in a week. Some cases are more complicated than others. I am in favor of the increased transparency that we're seeing. And where there's wrongdoing, law enforcement officials shouldn't hesitate to bring a charge.
Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Eddie, calling from Fort Washington. Eddie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you so much for having us this evening.
Sure thing.
Mr. Racine, thank you for taking the time to help educate us. So I do have a question slash point, if I will. We mentioned that Black Lives Matter and the slayings that are being done on the street in regard law enforcement with black lives. The court has kind of done the same thing that we're seeing for such a long time, and it's gone so unknown. Are you planning to help put something in place to help an educated defendant as he's being prosecuted? And that's one. And then number two, the repeat offender sometimes isn't a repeat offender except on paper, which makes it easier for him to get prosecuted.
Eddie, you're breaking up really, really badly. Did you hear the first question at least?
I think I got the first and a part of the second question. I think the first question really related to defendants' rights and defendants' rights to representation. Yes. In America, there is no doubt that we need to make sure that defendants have good counsel whenever their liberty is at stake. In this regard, I've got to highlight the District of Columbia. The Public Defender Service for the District of Columbia has long held the title as the best public defender agency in the country. The Federal Defender in D.C. also is at the highest level, and we need to make sure that in every jurisdiction we care enough about liberty to make sure that defendants have excellent counsel.
Okay. Eddie, thank you so much for your phone call. Let's go to Richard. Richard, I'm calling from Southeast. What's on your mind, Richard? Go ahead.
Yes. Are we on the air?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay. My name is Richard Jones. I want to make a comment, not ask a question. I've been filing for 30 years, and the first topic was the judicial system. Is it broken? Mm-hmm. I just want to stay focused on the reality of my years' experience dealing with Chief Judge Saddlefield and Judge Lamont in both courts. The problem I'm having as a born and raised Washingtonian is there's too much racial discrimination in terms of sentencing. And I'm going to give you one example. For an example,
Richard. We got a lot of folks on the line, please. Go right ahead.
I know, but can I get my point across?
Go right ahead.
I can get it across another way. Matthew Lowry, the FBI agent, got caught with drugs and guns and gave up 36 months. Jack Johnson got 8 years. You got the judges over sentencing blacks for some petty crimes, like the 846 cases in district court. Those are not really conspiracy problems. So the judicial system is definitely broken because the blacks who don't have knowledge of a 2255, which is a writ of habeas corpus, or a writ of quorum nobis on how to litigate a case, are getting too much time.
Let me stop you there, Richard, because it sounds like we're going straight to law school. Can you at least make a comment about what he's saying?
Sure. And I appreciate the passion with which Richard speaks. The truth of the matter is that we got into a situation with the federal sentencing guidelines and the drug wars in the 80s and 90s where there is no doubt that we were over-criminalizing offenses. We were sentencing folks disproportionately, depending on whether they possessed crack cocaine or powder cocaine. And those laws did, in fact, have a racial disproportionate impact. Federal judges actually were the first ones to take the lead in criticizing that system. And eventually, we're not there yet, but eventually we've started to make significant improvements there. So Richard's points about the overall criminal justice system being perceived as unfair on a racial basis does in fact have some merit. But it's up to the law enforcement and the stakeholders here to speak the truth, acknowledge mistakes, and pledge to absolutely be fair going forward.
Talk to me about this human trafficking initiative. As we all know, there just seems to be an explosive growth. And this isn't, again, just a D.C. issue. But certainly in this region, we have seen a lot of police activity attempting to break up human trafficking rings. And we're not just talking about, you know, prostitution. And we're talking really young girls, really young boys involved in human trafficking and gang activity, controlling this. What is this initiative and how might this at least make a dent in this cycle?
Yeah, you've really captured the problem well. The average child human who's trafficked and sex trafficked is 12 years old. An average child is sex trafficked once every 3 minutes in the United States. And the reason is because there's big money in the business. Unlike the drug trade, where you're selling a good and that good, once it leaves your hands, is gone, you can't sell it again. Well, with respect to people, they are things that you can sell over and over and over again. What this human trafficking initiative is all about is about raising awareness in the schools, in the recreation centers, amongst young people of the signs that someone they know may be the victim of trafficking.
What is that sign, or what are those signs?
They're common signs. Of course, you know, indicators are frequent absences from school. Oftentimes, young girls and young boys may brag about having a new partner, older partner. You see oftentimes gifts, jewelry, new clothes, that sort of thing. Oftentimes, you'll see that people are exhibiting severe depression. People who were never depressed are now all of a sudden, you know, exhibiting isolation and depression. So what we want to do is get the message out about what to look for and how to help people.
Mm-hmm. How has this Why has this been picked as kind of a plan of attack? Because in the past, as I mentioned, we've usually seen law enforcement jump in. Do you believe that this is a better technique to have young people involved? Is that kind of the see something, say something aspect?
It absolutely is. A cousin of the see something, say something. I can tell you that we were at Dunbar High School today, and we had a full library of juniors and seniors, and to watch them interact with us and ask exceptional questions about how it is they might make sure, number one, that they're safe, that their siblings and loved ones are safe, and how they might make sure that at least if there's a sign that one of their friends is engaged in this conduct, they could get help, was motivating and inspiring. Young people want to help. In order for them to help, they need to know what the signs are.
Let me go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Shirley calling from Southeast D.C. Thanks for hanging on, Shirley. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm calling. I would like to know, why are the laws for juveniles so lenient and they commit heinous crimes and they're being sort of done like fish? It's a catch and release type of situation where they're not being prosecuted to the fullest for crimes, and they're reoffending until they return to the age of 18 years old, and then you finally prosecute them to the fullest. What's going to be done differently in the District of Columbia in reference to juveniles?
She makes an excellent point, because as we know, we've seen a lot of young people who have been charged with really, really severe crimes, gun related crimes, violent crimes that are making people afraid.
As a resident of the District of Columbia with an 82-year-old mother who likes to walk and go to the store, I'm completely empathetic and understand about the fear that people have. Let me just make two points. First, with respect to juveniles who are accused and charged of violent offenses, our office doesn't hesitate to bring the full force of the law down. And we will prosecute, and we will seek to make sure that that young person, either through probation or through juvenile jail, gets the services that they need. That's number one. Number two, the real issue with juvenile crime is, how do we get involved in the kids' lives so that they do not repeat, recidivate in our system? Here's what we found. We found that when you get involved in the lives of young people early on and try to understand what's going on in their lives and try to understand what kind of services they might need, services like mental health services, services like substance abuse, frankly, mentoring, just better involvement with adult male mentors. When kids get services like that in an intense way for 6 months, we find that they do not return to the criminal justice system.
But are those things the responsibility of your office? I can't imagine how your office would be able to handle that second part when there are so many young people that need the services that you just spoke about.
There are about 3,500 juvenile cases a year that our office handles. About a third of those cases involve a category of offense that is not seriously violent. If we can put our hands on that third category, that 1,000 kids, and get those kids the kinds of services they need outside of the criminal justice system, the data shows that they will not return and will not commit more serious offenses. We do that in partnership with the D.C. Department of Human Services through a program called ACE.
Okay. Shirley, thank you so much for your phone call. When we come back, we're going to talk to Carrie from Northwest Washington, and then we're going to talk about some of the scams that are going around trying to take your hard-earned money from you. We'll be back in just a bit. Stay with us. This is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking with D.C. Attorney General Carl Racine. Let me go back to the phone lines. Carrie calling from Northwest. Thanks for calling, Carrie. What's on your mind?
Thank you for having me on, and I'd like to thank the Attorney General for making himself available to all of us. And I have a couple of things, one that's personal and one that's not. And since I went around to the swing states in Obama 08, I learned a lot as a 65-year-old white woman about the issues facing Black America. And I believe that race and rape are uniquely shaming crimes and how they are very personal to someone and cause such interior damage that you can't really understand unless you've been through it yourself. And so I moved to D.C. to try to help with rewards and incentive programs for schools in Anacostia. And I ended up falling in love with a very wealthy man who was very senior in government, who brutally raped me and broke my arm in domestic violence at City Center. And everyone was very concerned about my safety when I moved to Anacostia, where I was very, very safe and delivered pizza from Mama's Kitchen across from that big chair late at night at Berry Farm and had no concerns whatsoever. But I was brutalized at City Center. I have, this was 2 years ago, and I'm in pelvic rehab as recently as today for serious damage done to me. And this case is very well known in the police department and the domestic violence unit, and I have a case in civil court.
Well, Carrie, if I may, I really need you to get specifically to your point. We only have a little bit of time.
But this is a very important thing about the coordination between the police department, and I have new hope because the chief has a law degree.
Okay.
Coordinating the Attorney General's office and the U.S. Attorney's office that, you know, how is it that someone who can cause pelvic damage to someone where it's cited as due to sexual trauma and the sexual assault unit at the MPD has a complaint that this man used his penis as a weapon on me. And we all know this, and there are clear damages, and someone is not prosecuted. And we know that the statistics are that only 4% of people who are prosecuted go to jail, while 90 to 98% of the reports of sexual offenses are true reports.
Well, let me stop you, Carrie. I got to stop you there. Can you at least begin to address? Obviously, this is an extremely complex and extensive case. Are you at least familiar with it, or can you at least try to address what she's speaking of?
Harold, unfortunately, I'm not familiar with Carrie's specific case, so I would need to, you know much more about the facts in order to comment. And if mm-hmm. it were a pending case, it would be irresponsible for me to comment.
Certainly.
Suffice it to say that if anyone is the victim of sexual assault, what they should do first, of course, is to call the police. If you're not going to call the police, or if you're not getting adequate response, you should feel free to call the Office of Attorney General. We have a victim's witness unit in our office, and what they're there to do is to help people navigate themselves through the process. They can sometimes be less than friendly.
Mm-hmm. All right, Carrie, and certainly again, obviously your case is extremely complex, and I certainly hope that if you are able to connect with the Victims Assistance Unit with the D.C. Attorney General's office, that perhaps there may be some sort of help or support.
Let me quickly give the number again.
Go right ahead.
It's 202-727-3400. So Carrie and anyone else should feel free to call that number. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I want to get to these scams, because a lot of people have lost money because we have these criminals on the phone, we have criminals on the web. Talk to me a little bit about the kinds of things that you're seeing and how people can protect themselves.
Sure. We're seeing a couple of types of scams, very similar in method and process. The first are IRS scams. That's where people call and they claim to be representatives or agents of the IRS. They claim that the recipient of the call has a huge tax debt, and that if that person does not immediately pay a certain amount of money, usually $5,000, $10,000, then the IRS will come in and arrest the person. Here's the deal. The IRS never calls residents and citizens of this country and threatens jail time on the telephone. If you ever get a call from anybody claiming to be the IRS, asking for immediate payment, threatening to put you in jail, you can simply hang up and then call the Office of Attorney General. Let us know about it, and we will work with the federal authorities to try to track these people down. The sad truth is that the overwhelming majority of callers on these IRS and other scams, these calls originate from outside of the country. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to track them down. But the point is, you got to be smart on the front end. Never give any of your personal information, credit card or banking information, to people who are threatening to lock you up unless you pay them.
And also, it's my understanding that there has been some attempt to scheme or scam, I should say, people through gift cards, where where people are requesting payment through gift cards instead of credit card or check.
There are all kinds of scams. The scams with respect to gift cards often ask people to give their money, $20, $50, for a gift card that may be of that value or of greater value, when in fact the gift card has no value on it. Here's the deal. You know, that your grandmother's old wisdom, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably isn't true, is a wise adage. Also, doing business face-to-face, personally with people who you know, or through folks who have referred folks to you, is the bright way to go. Always ask whether you know the person you're dealing with or whether you know someone who's dealt with that person and has had a successful experience before dealing with strangers.
Talk to me about the ticket scams, the parking ticket scams, the speeding ticket scams. Tongue in cheek, I say that's a good one, because anyone driving through the District of Columbia, living in the District of Columbia, you know, you're going to get a speeding cam ticket, or you could get a parking ticket unless you don't have a car.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I certainly have my, you know, fair share of tickets.
They don't fix tickets for you?
I can tell you that the DMV has been honest with my matters.
Okay.
I pay my fare. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that the scammers will look for any means to divorce your money from your purse or from your wallet. And so a new scam is one where they're calling people and telling them that they are working for the DMV. And they understand that you've got a $50 balance. Your ticket may double. But if you pay a certain amount today, say $35, your ticket will be extinguished. To the naive ear, that sounds like a deal, because many of us have had tickets double on us, and there's nothing worse than that. Once again, DMV does not call residents of the District of Columbia or anyone else to ask for payment. The way they deal with folks is they deal with you just like the IRS does, through the mail. Do not respond to attempts to settle some alleged fine from DMV or the IRS by telephone.
Talk to me about Handyman. Is it handyman.com? Handy.com?
It's handy.com. It's an interesting a company. They're in the shared economy, so it's an internet-based platform that connects buyers, people who are in service of handyman, who are in search of handyman services or cleaning services, with handy people or cleaners. Got nothing wrong with that that business in principle. Here's the problem. Handy advertises that they hire trusted professionals, that they carefully vet and investigate their professionals. Unfortunately, D.C. residents have relied on Handy's representations. And unfortunately for those residents, on at least 30 occasions, Handy professionals has come into the house of D.C. residents, and not only have they cleaned the apartment, but they've also, you know, frankly, cleaned the residents out. They've stolen computers, jewelry, credit cards, and other items. So we brought suit against Handy about 2 weeks ago in Superior Court, because we found their representation that their professionals are trusted, that they have been background investigated, and that they're honest to be false.
And finally, this is something that I find interesting, and I hadn't heard this term in a while. There's still some form of predatory lending going on.
So payday lending in the District of Columbia, thankfully, has been outlawed. And so there are no more payday lending places, physical structures in D.C. Throughout the Internet, however, loans are available. And oftentimes these places on the Internet that are giving loans, they give these loans at extremely high illegal rates. And so once again, you know, the old adage that if it's too good to be true, you can get money within 15 minutes and you can pay it back when you want to pay it back. Stay away from those deals, because if you engage in that kind of activity, it's going to be hard for us, the Office of Attorney General, other state attorney generals, to protect you.
For those who need more information about your office, how can they find you online and on the phone?
Sure. Our website is www.oag.dc.gov. The telephone number is 202-727-3400. Email dc.oag@dc.gov.
And as usual, I'll be posting the link to the Office of the Attorney General for the District of Columbia for those of you who are interested in finding out more information. D.C. Attorney General Carl Racine, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you so much, Harold.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, October 4th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at hfisher@whur.com, on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, or Twitter at hfisherwhur. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.